Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's Smoke Jensen, The Mountain Man, 12, Fury of the Mountain Man. Narrated by Mort Shelton, with performances by James Lewis, Stephen Carpenter, Joe Brack, David Coyne, Elizabeth Jernigan, Ren Casey, Thomas Penny, Annette Savard, Tim Carlin, Mort Shelby, Dylan Lynch, Terrence Aselford, Michael Glenn, Ken Jackson, Richard Rowan, and Eric Messner. Smoke Jensen rode atop his big Appaloosa, making his way south. He was reflecting on the fact that no matter how idyllic and peaceful his life in the Shining Mountains was, what with his prosperous ranch and his beautiful wife Sally, it was amazing that trouble always had a way of finding him. This time it came in the form of a letter from an old friend. Carbone had written Smoke to inform him that he had hung up his guns. The notorious Mexican gunfighter had become a gentleman rancher, a haciendado as he put it. Also that Carbone's ace boon running mate, Martine, had done the same. In the years since their last joint venture with Smoke Jensen, they had married and produced a flock of kids according to the letter, and they had prospered. Only now something threatened their newfound way of life. Smoke wondered what was going on down in Mexico that they should feel it necessary to send for him. Carbone's missive had been less than fully informative. He'd mentioned bandits and an outlaw army led by someone who called himself El Rey del Norte.
King of the North. North of what?
Smoke had no idea what he was getting himself into. But one thing he did know, he never left a friend in need. On the south slope of a long ridge, three men sat their horses. With the animals shoulder to shoulder, they completely blocked the road. Hard-bitten men, their grim expressions reflected the purpose of their presence at this particular spot. Len Banks on the right and Lonnie Banks on the left were brothers and shirt-tail relatives of the man in the middle, Myron Forbes.
He has to come this way. From what we learned, he has to.
Could be state-owned Pueblo, Forbes.
Then we wait, Banks.
They saw the hat first, a slowly growing silhouette against the cobalt blue of the Colorado sky. As it progressed over the top of the ridge, it increased in definition, a black Stetson cattleman. Then the face resolved itself, square, rock-hard jaw. Long, darkly tanned cheeks with shadowed holes where the eyes would be. Longish blonde hair riding the slight breeze behind.
God damn, I think it's him.
If it is, today's the day he dies.
Howdy, boys.
You Smoke Jensen?
I might be. Why?
If you are, we came to kill you.
Do you mind telling me why exactly you intend to kill me?
You ought to know. I'm Myron Forbes.
I'm supposed to know you?
Know the name for sure. You killed my baby brother, shot him in the back.
I never shot a man named Forbes so far as I know.
God damn, Jensen, you killed enough you don't know all their names?
I regret to say that is true. Some Blackfeet, Arapaho, a punk or highwayman here and there. But I never backshot a man unless he turned at the last second after my hammer fell. And I've never shot a man who wasn't trying to kill me.
You seem mighty sure of that.
I am.
You're lying, goddammit!
I never lie.
Yes, you do. With his dying breath, Bubba told me it was Smoke Jensen who shot him.
Someone claiming to be, maybe. But not me.
You're a coward as well as a liar. Trying to save your miserable life by hiding behind still more lies. Feel your hand, you son of a bitch.
Oh! Suddenly, Smoke saw Lonnie Banks going for his hog leg.
Fuck! My arm! You shot me in my fucking arm!
Shut your damn mouth. or the next shot will be your face.
Lynn Banks already had his hands in the air.
Are you two related to Mr. Forbes?
Well, shirt tail relatives is all. Lord, I never saw nothing so fast, Mr. Jensen. You all know I never touched iron. Never even tried to draw. We didn't have much truck with this crazy idea. I mean, who ever heard of Smoke Jensen in South Texas? The real Smoke Jensen, that is.
I'm headed south now.
But...
Bundle him up and see he gets a proper burial.
Oh, yes, sir. Right proper Christian burial. Twerk's your fault, Mr. Jensen. Myron, he sort of pushed it, and he got my brother shot up in a bargain.
Not much of a bargain, Mr. Forbes, I'd say. You fellas clean up that mess. Then I'd say a quick trip back to South Texas would be in order after that.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Without another word, Smoke steered his way around the obstructing horses and continued on toward Trinidad, Colorado. Exquisite taste and a sensitive understanding of the arts reflected in the large sola of the Hacienda La Fortuna in the state of Durango, Mexico. The vaulted ceiling soared some 15 feet above the meticulously fitted and immaculately scrubbed flagstones of the flooring. Although it was a warm day outside, a fire crackled in the walk-in fireplace, where a spit awaited a whole lamb or a haunch of beef to roast. The good taste, however, did not belong to the man sprawled in a throne-like chair at one end of the main hall. Gustavo Angel Carvajal wore the uniform of a general in the Mexican army. That he held no such rank, and never had, constituted no bar to his wearing it. The knee-high black boots were smeared with dust, mud, and splatters of blood. The ease with which his men had taken the hacienda seemed to heighten his displeasure rather than elate him. He had a brooding countenance as he listened to the reports of his three most trusted subordinates. Small of stature, with bowed legs and a growing middle, Carvajal's 5.5-foot frame seemed constructed of spare parts. Close-set ebon eyes were slightly crossed. The left one had a speck of nebulous gray-white that gave it an odd cast.
Why is it we can take this place with only two losses, yet when I send my best soldiers, my Eagle Warriors and my Jaguar Warriors, to exact tribute from the two stubborn Haciendados, you return empty-handed?
Embarrassed and instantly alerted to the edge of madness in Carvajal's tone, the trio of lieutenants pondered how to reply. His reference to the army of the Aztec Emperor Montezuma revealed the possible onset of another of his flights of fancy, in which Carvajal insisted that he was the reincarnation of that selfsame emperor. At least they thanked the god they weren't entirely certain existed. He did not go so far in his other persona as to undertake the gruesome ritual of human sacrifice and cannibalism known to the Aztecs. Finally, the tallest, Humberto Regales, hazarded an answer.
Your pardon, Your Excellency. Both of the gentlemen in question are notorious as pistoleros, and apparently they have done the unthinkable. They have trained some of their peons in how to use firearms. That's a dangerous precedent if it were to become widespread. Armed men can determine their own destinies, and even who is to rule them.
Yes, yes, I understand all that. So what you are telling me is that they resisted and did so successfully.
Si, it is in our reports.
What I still can't understand is why this unnatural quirk remains in my fate. In all of three states of central Mexico, not a soul refuses to bow down or pray tribute to me, except for these two stubborn, stupid haciendados, Esteban Carbon y Ruiz and Miguel Antonio Martin y Garcia. How can this be?
We do not know, Excellency. We have already given Carbon what should have been a death blow. His villages are in ruins. The priests run off. What peons remain on the estancia are frightened and cowed. Yet he continues to resist.
Only through the assistance and connivance of that cabron, Martin. Well then, we will move on, Martin, now. And see if that doesn't break the spirits of those two old comrades in arms. And end their willingness to resist.
Smoke saw the flurry of activity from a distance that prevented recognizing what was happening. Dust boiled up around the legs of a man who stood in a corral. He raised and flung down one arm as though driving stakes with a sledgehammer. Smoke rode up to the confusion, trying to figure out what was happening. What he saw brought coldness to his heart that reflected in his icy gray eyes. A man was beating a small pony with a piece of firewood as long and thick as an arm.
I'm gonna beat the change out of you, Dollar!
Don't hurt Dollar no more. She's bleeding.
Now you stop bawling here, or I'll take this stick to you.
Oh, please. Please, Paul, take your mad out on me. Don't beat poor Dollar no more.
God damn you, Bobby. I got a mind to do just that.
Smoke reined in Sidewinder and dismounted. Three fast strides, he reached the corral.
I think that's enough.
You keep your nose out of this, Buttface, or I'll kick your tail up twixt your shoulder blades.
Start kicking, you worthless son.
No strangers coming betwixt the man and his kid or his animals.
He ain't my pa. He my stepdad, and I hate him.
You're getting yours next, Bobby. Soon's I finish with this no account.
It's been my experience that bullies are all cowards at heart.
I'll show you, coward, you bastard.
So, you gonna start kicking my ass? Or should I hold back and wait? I could end this right now since you're a bully and a coward by simply telling you my name.
I don't give a damn about your name, saddle trash.
I'm curious about names. What's yours?
Rube Connors. And if you was from around here, you'd be pissing your jeans to hear that.
Sure thing, dumbass.
Why, you motherfucker?
Playtime's over. Did you ever think that people are afraid of you because you smell like the south end of a northbound donkey? You useless piece of shit.
I'm gonna cut you, you piece of trash.
When Connors made a half-hearted slash, Smoke jumped to one side and stepped past the thick-bellied enemy. Then he drove rock-like knuckles into Connors' kidney.
Usually when you have a knife, you want to put the pointy end in the person that's kicking your ass.
Smoke caught the man's arm as he stabbed out with the knife.
Now, I'm going to have to teach you a really painful lesson.
The knife fell from numb fingers and Rube Connors crumpled to the ground, landing in the largest puddle of horse piss that Smoke had ever seen.
So, when exactly can I expect you to start kicking my ass?
Rube Connors raised his head, smeared with the red-brown mud of southern Colorado and the burning stink of horse piss.
God damn you! God damn you to hell!
Really? That the best you can come up with?
Golly, mister. That was sure some bodacious fight. But, geez, he'll kill me now for certain, sure. Will you take me with you, mister? Please? Please take me along.
Son, I can't do that.
Please, you gotta. He'll do for me like he did my ma.
What do you mean, boy?
He beat on us. Like he done my pony, Ma and me. Old Root would get all drunked up and come home late, yank Ma out of bed and womp on her something awful. If I even let out a squeak, he'd go after me next. Sometimes I didn't even have to remind him I was there. He liked it, don't you see? Then one time he hurt Ma something awful. That was 2 weeks ago. She had to lay in bed a whole week, just getting worser and worser. And then she just went away.
She left? Took off and left you alone with him?
No, sir. She died. We buried her over there by the root cellar. And that's why you got to take me along. He'll kill me for sure now. I mean, with Ma being dead and seeing how I watched him get so bad whooped.
Mm. I don't think so, son. At least not right away. I'll stop off in the next town. Tell the sheriff to come back and look in and ask some questions. You answer him truthfully, and it'll all go right for you.
But Rupe will beat the tar out of me before that. I know it.
Listen, boy. Where I'm going, I can't have a kid along. If you want, ride out of here for a while. Keep the place in sight. Come back when the sheriff arrives.
If you say it'll be all right.
I'm sure of it.
Early that morning, in the large town of Zacatecas, which was on the eastern slopes of the Sierra Madre Occidental, Esteban Carbon and Miguel Martin, his friends called him Al, met at a cantina.
You are a married man, amigo.
Salud! De Niro y amor.
Y tiempo de gustarlos.
Health, money, and love. We have plenty of those. But the time to enjoy them, I fear that the time is growing short.
So then, Carbon, how long do you think it will be?
Until the end? Another month or two?
No, I mean until he gets here.
Another week, perhaps. I am to be in El Paso to meet him then. Have you had any further incidents?
I have lost a few head of sheep, some goats. But that could be for some other reason. No fires. My last shipment to the plaza in Ciudad, Mexico was not stolen.
He's not going to like too much what you do for a living, my friend. You'll know how he feels about animals.
Oh, yes. I've listened to his lecture on the shabby way men have treated the wolves more than once. Or on how horses have feelings and need to be broken with gentleness. A man of many facets, our Smoke Jensen. Do you think it will be enough? You and I and him? Can we really stop this loco Carvajal?
Hijo Chindago, son of a bitch. What kind of Arabia calls himself the king of the north? 5 years ago, he was a third-rate bandito, stealing centavos from the poor boxes in mountain village churches.
Yes. And now all of Central Mexico lives in fear of his name. We can call him crazy, call him madman and rabid dog. But that fact remains. He is one powerful loco, if nothing else. I only hope Smoke Jensen has some ideas on how to rid ourselves of him.
At a table in deep shadows, a short distance away, a man peered from under the brim of his big sombrero and studied the two former pistoleros. It bothered him that they spoke in English, but he caught only a word or two. He recovered his composure when the pair had finished their third shots of tequila. They rose and departed, rich cigar smoke trailing behind them. Quickly, the man came to his boots and went out the back way. In 5 minutes, he stood in the presence of his patron, Don Gustavo Angel Carvajal, El Rey del Norte.
It is as I say, Your Excellency Don Gustavo. They talk in English and few words make sense. But it was a... ending your career. Of that I am sure. End of something called a Smoke Jensen?
Carvajal's crossed obsidian eyes narrowed, which produced a snake-like glitter. He seized upon the last words of the informant.
Yes. Who or what is a Smoke Jensen? He or it is coming from El Paso and Los Estados Unidos, eh? That's what I want you to find out.
Excellency, I have heard of this Smoke Jensen. He is a famous gunfighter from Los Estados Unidos. He has killed many men, hundreds, they say.
So what? Can he defeat an army?
Root found out when he tried to open his eyes that they had swollen nearly shut. He brushed at the burning lids with his big hands and wiped mud from his face.
Oh, what is this, horse piss?
Then Roop noticed that Smoke was there talking to that damn stepson of his.
What is that damn brat saying? Can't let that son of a whore talk to the sheriff. He'll get everything done near twisted up and whatnot.
Roop knew he had to stop him. He just needed something to help him get to his feet. Groped blindly and came upon a long, hard shaft.
The pitchfork.
Holding the wicked iron tines horizontally before him, Roop started toward the man and boy in a shambling walk.
I'll get you. I'll get you both.
Not you again.
You said you could stop this by... Tell me your name. What is it?
Smoke Jensen.
Oh, God. I done a right stupid thing, didn't I?
You chose the path you walked, Connors.
And now you gotta take me along, mister. I ain't got nothing to stay here for.
I suppose I must for a while. Do you have any kin around these parts?
No, sir.
Well, I can take you into the next town. Someone there will look out for you. What's your name, son? I heard Connors call you Bobby.
Robert Edward Lee Harris, Mr. Smoke. And I heard all about you. Gee, that was so fast. I didn't even have a warning clean out before you had your gun moving.
Fast isn't always best. It's accuracy that counts. Now, Robert Edward Lee Harris. Ah, that's for the man who commanded the Army of North Virginia, I take it.
Yep.
We'd best care for your pony and saddle her if she can take it.
What about him?
Let him rot. Never could abide someone who'd abuse women, children, or animals.
What exactly does one do with a 10-year-old boy? Smoke considered that question as they rode through the splendor at the top of Raton Pass. Civilization and progress had invaded this southernmost edge of Colorado, Smoke noted. The Denver and Rio Grande Railroad had track crews busily grading, placing ties, laying rails, and dumping ballast for a new main line that would connect Santa Fe with the distant east via the shiny ribbons of steel. Hard, numbing work, Smoke mused. Unbearably dull for these workmen, he also considered. The pair rode close to a trio of the track layers.
Well, howdy there.
Howdy.
The other two stopped work also in hopes of some novelty and looked piercingly at the strangers.
My name's McGinnis.
Jensen.
Looks like you plucked a rat out of a flood.
What are you getting at, McGinnis?
That boy there. A skinny little thing with too long hair. Like a half-drowned rat, if you ask me. He kin of yours, or is he along to worm your sugans?
You've got a pretty nasty tongue on you, McGinnis. I think it's dug a hole that's going to be hard for you to get out of.
Not so long as I get a little help from my friends.
Make it easy on yourself. I'll accept your apology, and so will the boy. Then we can ride on our way.
Sir, and what if I choose not to?
Then I'll have to step down from this saddle and kick the living shit out of you.
Try it, and you'll have three to fight. Kid looks like a sissy boy to me.
You better take that back, mister. Do it, or Smoke Jensen will shoot you down like a dog.
What? Him? That Smoke Jensen? Not likely.
Oh, shut up, old Dwyer.
What the hell for, Mick? Sure, he's a big one, but everyone knows Smoke Jensen is 8 foot tall. He wears two guns, too. Left one high up and butt pointed out, regular top gun. You are a goddamn liar, kid. When we get done with this backside of a mule, I'm gonna wash your mouth out with soap.
Listen, oh, whatever the fuck your name was. I just got done kicking the shit out of this boy's stepfather. And then I had to shoot him because he wouldn't let things be. I really don't need this right now. So if you'll just apologize, we can be on our way. And we'll all pretend that this never happened.
Ha! Not bloody likely!
I don't know, Dwyer. This one's got a cold look in his eyes.
Oh, well now, let me see if I can warm that up with my fists.
Come on, get up, O'Dwyer.
Oh, God, by God. I think the kid was right. You are Smoke Jensen.
I am. You could have saved us all a lot of hurt if you had listened in the first place. Now, I'm waiting for that apology.
Oh, you're right you are, Mr. Jensen. Right? Sorry about the mouthy ways of me and my friends here. We got out of line. Sure did. You too, kid. Plain to see you're no sissy boy. None of us should have mouthed off like that. I am terribly, terribly ashamed.
Thank you.
I never, never seen anything like that. He didn't have a chance.
Let's hope you don't have occasion to see it again. Any more than that, and I'll never get where I'm going.
In camp that night, halfway through the steep Raton Pass, Bobby Harris sat haunched and quiet on the opposite side of the fire from Smoke Jensen. The boy hugged his knees up under his chin and took on a 100-mile stare. Wise in the ways of youngsters, at least to his own, Smoke kept a congenial silence.
What are you gonna do with me? I mean, I know you can't be tied down with a kid tagging along to wherever it is you're going.
That's a good question, boy. Trouble is, I don't have an answer as yet.
Do you have a home? A real place? With a family, I mean.
Yes, I do. A horse breeding ranch up in High Lonesome.
Huh?
That's what the mountain men used to call the High Rockies, northwest of Denver. It means a big empty place with tall mountains all around where even a whisper sounds loud to your ears.
Gosh, that's poetic. You're married then?
Yes. Her name is Sally, and she's the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. We have four youngsters, too. They're a bit older than you, living back east, going to school in Europe.
Ugh, what an awful thing to have to do. I remember being back there before my folks, my real dad, that is, came out to Colorado. Couldn't breathe the air for all the coal smoke. Noisy, dirty, all kinds of mean kids who'd steal your shoes if they had nothing else to take. Cops beating on everyone. Well, I think they must have had a rule that someone had to hate kids to be a policeman.
Yeah, the big cities are like that, true. Fortunately, one of my sons is in New England. Green fields and rolling mountains, lazy rivers and sailboats. It's right peaceful, if a little dull.
Gosh, you been there, Mr. Smoke?
Yes, I have, but it wasn't a pleasure trip.
Oh, some gun business, huh?
Yeah, sort of.
Folks say you've killed 50 men in shootouts.
At least.
Well, others say it's more than 200.
Bobby, there's something you should learn young. Nobody who's worth his salt keeps count. Killing's not a contest with prizes for the winner. A man does what he has to do, deliberately or because he's pushed into it, and no place to go to avoid it. Only loudmouth punks keep score, cut notches in the grips of their six guns. Most often, those are for show and blow, not for real.
Oh, wow. Oh, please, Mr. Smoke, tell me an exciting story about your life.
I'll make you a deal. I'll tell you a story about the greatest man I ever knew, and you stop chattering and go to sleep.
Oh, must I?
We got a long ride tomorrow.
All right.
All right, settle down then. A long time ago, there was this mountain of a man, name a preacher. He was in the fur trade. Some said his daddy
when
was
Smoke
a puma.
Smoke Jensen finished the last line of his praise to his mentor. Bobby Harris had snuggled down in his blanket and was fast asleep. Smoke doused the fire and rolled up in his own blankets. His last thoughts, before sound sleep muffled him, returned to the early afternoon.
What the hell am I going to do with a 10-year-old boy?
Raton, New Mexico territory was wild and woolly. Track crews labored to extend the rails northward to meet in the pass with those inching south. The promise of prosperity that the railroad represented had attracted merchants, entrepreneurs, and, of course, bartenders, gamblers, and whores. Raw wood buildings went up faster than the track extended. Smoke Jensen and Bobby Harris rode into this industrious bustle near noon the next day.
Gosh! This is a regular boom town.
If I was a betting man, I'd wager that fame and fortune will bypass the good folk of Raton. Popularity is destined to settle on some other place, no doubt Santa Fe. The Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe already has tracks in there. Any place two railroads meet, that's where the big growth happens. Besides, Raton is Spanish for rat. Whoever heard of a great metropolis named Rat?
The big Appaloosa horse and small paint pony ambled down the busy main street. Two young men looked their way. Both had the air of blooming hard cases. Gaunt cheeks, hard, cold eyes, and the ready six guns, extras stuck into the top of their trousers. They had the practiced sneers, too. Every two-bit punk and every low-class dive on the frontier had its share of these would-be predators. One of the pair reached up to tug at the wisps of a straggly mustache that attempted to grow on an adolescent lip.
You rescue that from a rag bag, mister? Or don't you give enough of a rip to outfit your kids decent and proper?
It appears your folks might have dressed you well enough, but they sure neglected teaching you manners.
Don't get lippy with us, mister. You'd be biting off a whole pass of more trouble than you can handle.
Yeah, Gabe's right, mister. You're strangers to these parts, so you don't know who you're mouthing off to.
and I don't have any burning desire to find out. Why don't we just ease off and go our separate ways?
Are you kidding? You insult us like that and think you can just turn your back and walk off? I got a mind to knock you into the middle of next week.
No, not the both of you could do that. On the other hand, if I took a mind to it, I could kick your butt so hard and so high you'd look like you were wearing fur collars. I agree. The boy could use some dressing up. I'll attend to it today. Now, let's just all back off and we'll be on our way.
Without waiting for a reply, although a part of Smoke's mind burned with an unaccustomed feeling of humiliation, he lifted Sidewinder's reins and set the Big Appaloosa in motion.
You're yellow! That's what? A yellow cur dog.
Smoke cut his eyes to Bobby. What he read on the boy's face profoundly shocked him. Rather than relief or pride, the lad's expression revealed a deep sense of being shamed by Smoke backing down from the pumps. Bobby's lower lip protruded like a pink bulb, and he wouldn't meet Smoke's gaze. That reaction confused Smoke. Bobby actually looked forward to the violence and blood, perhaps even to a death. Could the boy have already been irredeemably bent and twisted by his drunken lout of a stepfather?
Oh, there.
Smoke directed Bobby to a haberdasher's establishment. So far, it stood alone, not crowded into a block of other similar clapboard buildings. Sparkling clean windows, despite the dust haze in the air, displayed a wide variety of clothing items for men and boys. Inside, Smoke oversaw outfitting Bobby with two pairs of new trousers, four shirts, a light jacket, and boots.
Do I gotta wear these? They're hot and tight and make my feet hurt. I done gone barefoot most of my life. Don't see why I should change now.
Because winter is coming and it gets damn cold around here. You need to break them in good before you have to wear them all the time.
Then I can go without them some of the time?
When we're not in town.
Oh, shoot.
Well, your boy has quite a mouth on him, I see.
Don't you start, clerk. Now we need a hat.
I have just the thing. The latest fashion from New York.
He produced a dark blue item with a low domed crown and narrow rolled brim. Long azure satin ribbons hung to the rear. Both Smoke and Bobby made expressions of distaste that renewed their mutual bond.
I think something more suited to this country.
Long pale fingers fidgeting, the clerk found another boy's style in brown that matched the vest Bobby had fancied for himself. At least this one didn't have ribbons. The youngster gave it one slight glance and turned his button nose to Smoke in appeal.
Oh, I want one like yours.
When you're a man, you can have a man's hat. That'll do fine.
Back out on the street, looking store fresh in his new clothes, Bobby glanced to the left and right.
Now what?
First we find a place to eat. Then we look for someone who can help us locate a place for you to stay.
But I don't want to stay here. I want to go with you.
Look, kid, you said it yourself the other night. You can't go along where I'm headed. So we find someone willing and suitable to take you in.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I know that. But I hope to, for a minute there...
It's rough, kid. Sure. I got left alone when I was not much older than you. Preacher came along, took me under his wing. Things worked out.
Like in that story you told me in camp?
True story, Bobby. Let's eat. It's been so long since breakfast, my tongue's forgot what coffee tastes like.
During the meal, Smoke decided that finding a minister, if there was one in this raw town, would be the best place to start. On the street, once again, they walked three blocks toward the town's makeshift church. When suddenly, Smoke and Bobby were face to face with the two budding thugs who had earlier taunted them.
We meet again, you yellow dog. This here is Pete McGiver, and I'm Gabe Winkler. That should have you wetting your britches. Now, we want you to get down on your belly and crawl for us.
No. Bobby, get out of the way. Cross the street right now.
But I...
Do it, Bobby.
Do it, Bobby!
Oh, damn.
Either you crawl or go for that iron, yellow dog.
No, I don't crawl before any man. Leave it alone.
Draw, goddamn you!
Sorry, I won't do it. You want this so badly, You draw. Both of you. I'll let you get your arms clear of leather.
Then what? You gonna pee your britches and run home to mommy?
No. If I choose, I'll then kill the both of you.
Then Gabe gave a predatory nod to Pete, and they both went for their six guns. Smoke kicked Gabe in the stomach. Pain had hardly begun to register when Smoke took a quick two steps forward and laid the barrel of his .44 Colt alongside Pete MacGyver's head.
Don't play with grown-ups' toys, Sonny.
That's showing them, Smoke.
Smoke?
Yeah, that's what folks call me. Smoke Jensen.
You? You let us live!
You're too stupid to be worth killing. Go back to the farm or your dad's ranch and learn how to be good farmers or stockmen. This life's not for you and your friend. I appreciate your willingness to make the effort on Bobby's behalf.
An hour and a half later, Smoke was in a small, neat house 5 blocks off the main drag. He had learned of a childless couple from the padre at the church in the Mexican section of town. Smoke found the Goodmans, Marvin and Ella, to be warm, hospitable people who made over Bobby and provided fresh baked cake and good, strong coffee. Ella even produced a large glass of milk for the boy.
We've been without the happiness of a child in our house for long enough.
Yes, well, now you have one. I have to be on my way, Bobby. The Goodmans very much want you to live with them. Now, you behave, study hard in school. What happened is in the past. Leave it there.
Let me come to your horse with you.
Out in the street, Smoke self-consciously patted the boy on the head and started to climb aboard Sidewinder.
You take care of your pony here.
I don't want you to go, Mr. Smoke. You saved my life. Old Root would have killed me if you hadn't come along. I'll be good, I promise. I'll stay with those folks and do what they ask, even go to school. But when you come back, take me with you to your ranch, please. I don't want to live in this town.
I don't know how long I'll be gone. And the longer it is, the more heartbreak you'll bring to the Goodmans by leaving.
Bobby hadn't considered that. It gave him pause, then he tilted his head back and gazed up at Smoke with something close to adoration.
You will stop in and see me, won't you? Just for a while, a visit?
I guess I can manage that, I suppose.
Well then, goodbye, Smoke Jensen. You take care of yourself, too. I'll miss you.
A light touch of rain turned the spotted rump steed's head. Typical of the breed, Sidewinder fought mastery by a human and looked back at the forlorn figure of the boy sadly waving to Smoke. The big blue eyes of the horse seemed to contain the same sadness that filled the heart of the young boy. With purple-blue shadows touching the eastern horizon, and the mountains on the western vista crowned by a slice of intense orange light, Smoke Jensen made camp for the night. He estimated his location to be about halfway between Raton and Springer, New Mexico.
Hello? The camp?
Bobby, what are you doing out here? How did you find me?
Can I come on in?
I have a mind to paddle your bottom all the way back to Raton. Yeah, come on in.
Bobby Harris and his painted pony appeared in the firelight.
You didn't answer my question, boy.
I learned to make out a Sidewinder sign a long ways back. All I needed to do was find it on the road south and follow it. At least until dark. Then I figured all I had to do was keep on until I saw campfire.
You could have gotten the wrong camp. Found a heap of trouble.
No, Dollar knew Sidewinder's smell. She woofed when she caught a whiff.
Where'd you learn all this trail savvy?
Before old Roop took to drink so much, he taught me a lot about reading signs, hunting, and tracking men.
He wasn't completely worthless.
Only the last couple years. But what he did killed Ma, so I ain't got a tear.
Me neither, son. You still haven't told me why you're here.
Oh, you ain't gonna believe me.
Try me.
They weren't the nice people you thought, Mr. Smoke. They locked me in a room and didn't give me any supper. Then they They was gonna sell me.
What?
It's the God's own truth, Mr. Smoke, I swear. I heard them talking after they ate their supper. They thought I was out in the washhouse taking a bath. I was in the kitchen instead. They talked about selling me to the highest bidder. Someone who had lots of hard work to get done and didn't want to pay out wages or keep me and rent me out. That woman, Ella, said that. I was so scared. I just done took all my stuff and skedaddled.
No sense in taking you back there. Time's too short. Though I'd like to bring this little story up to the Goodmans and see how they react. People like that. They don't have a jail cell miserable enough or a pit deep enough to keep them in. We'll be moving on to Santa Fe.
Can I?
May I?
May I have something to eat? I'm hungry.
There's some cold biscuit, fatback if you fry it, coffee.
Coffee? For me? Really?
Oh, hell, this is gonna be fun.
More of the aspen on the sugar loaf had turned gold. A hint of frost hung in the early autumn air. Sally Jensen pushed a stray strand of thick, dark hair away from her forehead. It was going to be a wonderful day. Sally knew that from the first taste of autumn, like spices on her tongue. She loved the fall like smoke-savored spring. A smile curved her lips as she visualized Smoke, his massive barrel chest and bulging muscles of his huge upper arms bared to the first warming rays that promised renewed life. He would work like that for hours, alongside the hands, bare to the waist, chopping wood or chucking post holes with an auger. But then Sally's smile turned to a frown as she saw a rider coming down the long, narrow lane that led from the big front gate of Sugarloaf to the ranch yard around the headquarters. There were few people who would brave Smoke's rather terse greeting posted on one of the tall, lodgepole pine uprights.
If you have no business at Sugarloaf, ride on by.
Now, a young, slender figure, riding loose and at ease in the saddle, cantered up the final slope toward the house. When he drew closer, Sally noted he had a beguiling grin and wheat straw hair that stuck out at odd angles.
Hello, the house. I'm Friendly.
Howdy. Right on in.
Morning. Sure is a fine day, ain't it?
Yes, it is that. Do you have some business at the Sugarloaf?
Well, not exactly, ma'am. I was wondering, is the boss hiring?
Not that I know of. You'll have to ask our foreman.
Where'll I find him?
He'll be in town later this afternoon.
Truth is, ma'am, I'm a bit down on my luck. It's a long ride back to Big Rock, and I ain't it for some time. If you had any chores to do, I'd be obliged if I could help out a bit in exchange for a good breakfast. Sort of pad my innards for the ride back.
There is some firewood needs chopping.
I'll make the chips fly, ma'am. You can be sure of that. I'm grateful, really I am.
Might I have your name?
Yancey, ma'am. Named after my uncle, Yancey Yarnell, who served with Colonel Merrill during the late unpleasantness. If you'll just direct me, I'll get started on that firewood.
Somehow, it just didn't seem right. The more he worked on it in his mind, the more Yancey Riggs reckoned that life had dealt him a bad hand. He'd worked hard, bone-wearing hard, since he was big enough to take up a hoe and hack the hard ground of his mama's kitchen garden. Other men did the same and wound up having something like this here sugar loaf. Stood to reason then that anyone who worked hard deserved the same, didn't it? Another thing, since he'd been growed enough to knock his paw on his butt and ride off, the saw handle sure didn't seem to fit Yancey's hand. The bow saw he used now quickly produced a rick of stove-length billets and a fresh crop of blisters on his hands. Enough, Yancey figured, for a breakfast. With axe in hand, he set to splitting the thigh chick chunks into more manageable pieces. Was this all he had to look forward to? His thoughts along this line brought him to that good looker who provided this means of earning a meal. Bet she had nice legs under that long, frilly-edged dress. She had the face of an angel. Yancey could hear her rattling pots and pans in the kitchen at his back. A man has a right to have someone like her waiting for him. That took Yancey to another realization. He'd not seen or heard from the boss man of this spread, nor any hands for that matter. Was that pretty young thing all alone? Despite himself, Yancey felt that familiar stirring in his loins. He hit the next stick of firewood with particular force. No, He wouldn't. He could not let that happen again. Hot-tempered and with a quick fuse where women were concerned, Yancey had been forced to drift out of too much of the West to allow himself to indulge in such dreams. But she sure had a nice smile and lovely dark hair. Yancey groaned and split another billet. Man, it'd be a fool to leave the side of a woman like that.
My, you've certainly done a good job. I have some smoked ham, eggs, home fries, and biscuits ready. Red-eye gravy, too, if you've a mind.
I'm obliged. I can do more after I eat if you want.
Oh, that'll be fine. Then you can get on your way to Big Rock.
Yancey washed up, replaced his shirt over a shallow chest, and entered the kitchen. His drive and hunger prevented any conversation until he'd sopped up the last of the red-eye with a half-biscuit.
That was bodacious grub, ma'am.
My name's Sally.
Well then, Sally, maybe you have something else to offer a lonely man?
I don't know what that might be.
A woman here, alone like this, must get somewhat vexing at times, eh?
I am not alone.
Yancey rose cat-quick and closed in on Sally. One hand went to her waist, the other tilted up her chin. Lush, full lips waited for him, and he bent toward her. Sally jerked her face free. She felt the hot brush of his lips on her cheek, and revulsion rose in her. She spun to the opposite side from his clutch and darted to the corner behind the door. She came up with the Martin lever action that always resided there.
Put that down. I only want to give you what you want.
I want you out of this house.
You're hankering for it. I can tell. I can see it in your eyes.
You have half a minute to clear that door and get in your saddle.
You won't shoot me, honey. Come on, admit it. You got the hots for me.
I've got hot lead for you if you want it.
That's plumb foolish. Women can't use a gun proper.
Sally Jensen shot him in the left shoulder.
The next one will be in your heart.
You'll be sorry. You'd have liked what I could do for you.
I guess I'll never know.
Crazy woman, that's what you are.
Yancey Riggs spared no time putting boots to stirrups and making speed out of the ranch yard. Gradually, a certain peace descended on him. His composure regained in part. He abandoned any thoughts about revisiting that crazy woman. He wanted a quick getaway before she made him a more lasting peace. Santa Fe, New Mexico territory, sprawled in its mountain valley. Thin wisps of smoke climbed from backyard beehive ovens placed outside the detached adobe kitchens of most houses.
I smell bread baking.
Just naturally, you're hungry.
Smoke had made a decision on the way to Santa Fe. He had questioned Bobby closely about his education. Although spotty, he could do his sums, read and write, and tell time. Smoke mulled this over as they made their way to the central business square, the Plaza de Armas. A large adobe church dominated the west side. Along the north, the governor's palace. The other two faces were given over to commerce. Saloons, called cantinas, due to the Spanish influence of its Mexican residents. Stores selling fresh meat, vegetables, bread and pastry. A plethora of tailors, bootmakers, saddle shops, and three gunsmiths lined the narrow cobbled streets that defined the plaza. Smoke reined up in front of a restaurant.
Comidas corridas.
Smoke read an easel-like slats board. Below it, the price was there in dollars and pesos. He nodded at it.
I wonder what their full-course dinner consists of.
Is that what that means?
Yep. Too bad your education hasn't included learning Spanish. It could be useful in this part of the country.
Do you mean you can read and write in Spanish?
Not exactly. Enough to get along, though. And speaking, of course.
Oh, gee, Mr. Smoke. That makes you a right smart man.
Learning another language isn't all that much, Bobby. All you need is to have someone who grew up with it to teach you and go live among people who only speak that language. That's how babies learn.
They do? I always thought they was born to folks who spoke that language and they naturally did it also.
Yeah, that's true in part. Because the language babies hear spoken around them is the language they'll learn. But if you take a baby, say a Chinese baby, and raise him in a Sioux camp or in a white man's town, he'll grow up speaking the language of the people around him and never know a word of his native tongue.
You mean if I growed up in some Indian camp, I'd talk like they do?
Yep.
Inside the cantina, The menu listed such exotic delights as bistec ranchero, chuletas de puerco, and carne asada. It also had roasted pork and meatloaf. Bobby chose the meatloaf, and Smoke, after an inquiring as to the ingredients, settled for the rancher-style steak. It came, cut in strips and stewed with tomatoes, onions, garlic, and chili peppers.
Lucky you picked the meatloaf.
Might not be so lucky in the morning. Who ever heard of hot meatloaf?
Smoke fished a folded brochure from a shirt pocket.
Know what this is?
Sure. It's a stagecoach schedule.
Good. I picked it up next door before we came in. You can read it and know what it says?
Yes, sir.
Think you could make out a train schedule?
Mostly like this, isn't it?
That it is.
Why are you chicken on my reading?
Suppose you tell me what those numbers in the column mean.
Well, that's the times when the stage, or the train in the case of the other, gets to each stop. Also tells the day it runs.
Good boy. Now, I've decided what we can do to make sure you have a right proper place to live. I'm sure that if I leave you anywhere along the trail, you'll find some reason to take off and catch up to me again. So, you have to have a good home. One where you'll want to stay. To have that, what I'm going to do is buy you a ticket on the next stagecoach to the end of the track. From there, you'll take the train.
Where to?
Let's pay up and go get the ticket.
Smoke and Bobby entered the stage office. A man with sleeve garters, long black cuff protectors, and a green eye shade held sway over the grill-fronted ticket window.
Well, now, what'll it be?
One way to, end of tracks for the DNRG.
That'd be to Trinidad, Colorado, $23.
For a child?
Nope. He going alone?
Yeah.
Says half price if accompanied by a parent.
It don't cost any more to haul him if he goes by himself.
Well, someone's got to be responsible for him.
What say he's responsible for himself?
Him? That little carpet rat?
I ain't so little.
Mind your mouth, boy.
Mind yours, you son of a bitch. Half price for kids his age, then half price it will be.
You cheap or something, mister?
Nope. Not near as cheap as you are impudent. Would you care to discuss this outside?
That's telling him, Smoke.
Smoke? Smoke Jensen? Well, no reason to get riled, Mr. Jensen, none at all. Why, we'd be proud to have the son of Smoke Jensen riding one of our coaches. Be an honor, yes, sir, quite an honor.
He's not my son. At least not yet.
Half price? Yes, sir, that'll be just fine. $11.50, cash money.
When does the next coach depart?
2 hours, 20 minutes. Right on time, mind you.
We'll be there.
On the street again, Smoke turned toward the far corner closest to the church. A sign there proclaimed a bank.
Let's go get some gold changed into smaller coin. You'll need money for eating, then the train ticket.
Where am I going?
For now, back to Trinidad. There, you'll take the Denver and Rio Grande Express train to Denver, then the local to Big Rock, Colorado. Then you'll be met by Sheriff Monty Carson and Sally Jensen, my wife. You're going to have a home in the High Lonesome, Bobby. A home at Sugarloaf.
Oh, Mr. Smoke, that's wonderful. I am plumb bowled over. You mean it? At your ranch?
You sure will. For so long as you need a home. You'll also be going to school there.
Why? I can read and write and do my sums, tell time. I know the names of all the presidents.
That's easy. There's only been 21 of them.
22, Grover Cleveland being our president now. So what more do I need?
Knowledge gives a man strength. It's the way to power. It allows one man to succeed where others fall to the wayside. You can gain knowledge from experience, true. The surest wellspring, though, is a good, thorough education. The more you know, the better able you are to face anything.
Even a gunfighter?
Yes, even a gunfighter. Being able to read a man's mood shifts help predict what way he'll act under pressure. There are doctors who have written about those things. That's something you can only get from school. Why, back east, they're starting to teach modern language in the schools, as well as Latin and Greek. A while ago, you seemed so proud that I could speak a little Spanish. I can also hold my own in Lakota, Cheyenne, Blackfoot, and Arapaho. I didn't acquire them by refusing to learn. Think what it would mean if you learned a language well enough to write poetry in it.
Poetry? That's for girls and sissies.
No, it isn't. Listen to this. Age cannot wither, nor custom stale her infinite variety. Others cloy the appetites they feed, while she makes hungry where most she satisfies. That's Shakespeare, one of the world's greatest poets.
What's it mean?
I have no fucking idea.
What about Dollar?
We could sell her and her tack, and you'd have more money.
But she's been mine since I was big enough to ride. I can't do that.
The alternative is to take her along on a lead rope to Trinidad, then a stock car to Big Rock. That'll cost extra.
Well, I don't care. I can get along with one meal a day.
Then that's what we'll do.
Bobby's farewell to Smoke turned out to be a tearful one, although the boy tried his best to be manly. Once the stage rattled away from the depot, the paint pony trailing behind on a lead, Smoke turned aside. He had to find the telegraph station and send a wire to Monte Carson and Sally. For a moment, Smoke's thoughts staggered him.
What if Sally doesn't go along with it?
Seated alone at a shadowed corner table, Yancey Riggs nursed his wound. He had seen the local doctor, paid him all but the last $2 of his dwindling reserve of cash, and he'd been patched up. Now, he dawdled over a schooner of beer in the Silver Saddle, a new saloon in Big Rock. He couldn't shake the uncomfortable feeling that everyone here knew what he had done and how he had been shot. Even the bartender kept cutting his eyes to the corner.
Damn that woman!
Allie, set them up. I just heard the latest.
What's that, Mike?
Bert Crocker and some of the boys just rode in from the Sugar Loaf. Seems she done it again.
Icy fear clutched at Yancey's spine and cupped his heart.
Don't try to be mysterious. Did what? I'm all ears.
Beer first, and then I'll tell you. See, Miss Jensen got put upon somewhat by another drifter. She popped a hole in his shoulder with a rifle. Woo-hoo! Shot him clean through, and he let out.
Good thing Smoke wasn't around. There'd have been a burying.
Oh, Jesus. Smoke Jensen?
Yancey made record time to the livery. He had his horse saddled and fogged out of town at a full gallop within 5 minutes of leaving the Silver Saddle Saloon.
Oh, stop it! Do you hear me? Leave me alone!
Smoke Jensen heard the feminine appeal from the intersection of a narrow side street in Santa Fe.
Please! Please! Oh, don't touch me like that! Help! Someone help me!
Smoke Jensen reversed his direction and rounded the corner. Immediately, he came upon a pair of buck-toothed, cross-eyed young oafs who pawed lasciviously at an expensively dressed young woman.
Ouch! Oh! You're hurting me! Please! Someone help me! Please!
Smoke clapped a hand on the shoulder of the offending punk and yanked him around from the shady lady.
What are you doing to my brother?
Smoke cut his eyes to the second attacker to see a face identical to the one he had just punished.
Twins? I fucking hate twins.
All at once, fingers like steel bands clamped onto Smoke Jensen's elbows, and he was lifted clear of the red-brown street by the burly lug he pounded.
Delbert! Delbert! Get up, Delbert!
I'm trying, Albert! I'm trying!
Smoke worked free his forearms. He spread them, hands open, palms facing, and on the next inward yank, he clapped them painfully over Albert's ears. Although disoriented and hurting, before Smoke stabilized on his boots, the huge twin fisted his .44 Remington revolver.
Pick my brother up!
Smoke restored the groggy Delbert to his boots.
You okay, Delbert? You should have done let him hit you like that.
What happened?
He done hitting you, Delbert Banner. You stood like an ox letting him hit you.
What now, Albert?
I'm gonna shoot him dead. You hear me, mister? I'm gonna shoot you dead.
I think not.
Look at me. I done got my iron out. And I'm gonna kill you dead for hurting us. Dead, dead, dead. Before I do, I want to know who it is I'm going to kill. What's your name, stranger?
Jensen. Folks call me Smoke.
Oh, sweet suffering Jesus. You're Smoke Jensen? I got out of line, Mr. Smoke Jensen. It's true. It surely is. And I ain't gonna shoot you, Dad.
I know that. Now, why don't you boys get the hell out of here?
Yes, sir. We'll do that right now.
An apology to the lady would be in order also.
Her? Why? She's just a whore.
So is your mother. Now apologize, or I'll blow off the other part that supposedly makes you a man.
Yes, sir. Miss, I sure am sorry about all this. Would you please forgive me and my brother? We just a couple of idiots.
It's all right, boys. And remember, next time you gotta bring cash with you.
Right. Oh, we won't be forgetting again. Come on, Delbert.
I'm grateful. I'd be happy to show you how grateful, if you were mine to.
I'll pass. Thanks all the same.
Well, then I could do with a cup of coffee, Mr. Jensen. What about you?
Suits me.
Thin moonlight filtered down on the Hacienda El Rio. Carbone had named his sprawling ranch estate after the handle tagged onto him by his fellow countryman, the Thunderbolt. His speed and deadly accuracy with a six-gun, rifle, or blade had become legend. Esteban Carbone and his wife, Maria Elena, stood before the ample fireplace in the book-lined study. Carbone, in a velvet smoking jacket, held a glass of Pedro Domecq Don Pedro brandy. Maria sipped delicately at a new concoction of a famous chef in Mexico City. It was called a margarita.
Are you certain, husband, that this plan of action is necessary?
Yes, Amada, I am sure. We, after all, considered upstarts. The good families have as little to do with this as possible. The government ignores our pleas for help against this madman. Already he has reduced two of my villages to ruins. Men have been killed, women carried off into who knows what new life.
The rurales?
Everyone knows they are corrompido. If we take our own people into the mountains after this loco El Rey del Norte, they threaten to arrest us. No, there is only one answer for this problem.
I know. Your mysterious gringo friend, Smoke Jensen. What can he do in a foreign land in strange mountains?
I'm certain that Smoke will be right at home in our Sierra Madre Occidental. He is a mountain man, the last mountain man. If anyone can exact justice out of this dilemma, it is he. Now, drink up. La Seña will be ready soon.
Maria raised the margarita to her lips. The shot had come from far off, Carbone's mind told him. A hidden assassin.
Santa Maria! Madre de Dios! Por qué?
Damn you! Gustavo Carvajal! You will taste full measure of our retribution.